Hey, what is up, guys? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, back for another week again, man. It's season two, and what a wonderful season it's been. And I don't really say that with caution or hesitation. Look, like this whole season two deal, I've gone through some stuff. I've been shaped and molded, and I have been, I guess, revamped by the fire of this season of my life, man. So praise God for that. But I believe we're on week 16, man, or episode 16 of season two. Let me inform you guys. I know you guys did not see a podcast post last week, but there was a reason for that. Typically, I do it every week. I try to make sure that I'm consistent with putting out the podcast, and I actually got it done last week. However, my spirit did not sit right with it. I did not feel the Lord's anointing on it, and I would rather withhold a podcast and to put something out there that isn't touched by the Spirit of God. And I mean that. I never want to give a message to give a message. I want to do what God has called me to do and try to make disciples of all nations. And, you know, we do that with the word of our testimony. We do that with sharing the gospel. And I do that through those of you who are listening. So this week I'm actually providing not the same content, but the same topic, but from a different POV. And guys, I do want to tell you that this one is powerful, because a lot of times we can get so caught up in just the woes of life, and we lose ourselves in the process. We forget what Christ has called us to do. We forget that we do have a mission, and we do forget that Christ calls us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And this is just another way for me to show you guys that I really love you. I care about you. And the more I do this, the more I develop a burden to minister and teach. And those who know me, man, you guys know, like I'm real with mine. I don't try to hide from the things that I go through. I don't try to hide behind what I teach, because I'm a flawed human being who struggles just like you struggle. And I go through a lot of the same things that you go through. And, you know, this is one of the things that Paul has tried to make clear all throughout the New Testament, is that although I am saved by Christ Jesus, and although Christ has saw fit to bring me into the kingdom, I still struggle. And that's why I love Paul so much, because he is so real and transparent with what he teaches, man. So no, I did not forget about last week. I did not forget about the podcast. But again, what I had recorded did not sit well with me. So that's why. But I hope you guys have had a great week. I hope you guys have. I hope you guys are, you know, are enjoying the podcast. And yo, I found something pretty cool, man. I was looking at the algorithms from my podcast and who's listening in. It just shows me how to market and how to deliver the content. But I think I found about 7 or 8 different countries to where people have tuned in on the podcast, man. So praise God. Thank you for all of you who are listening, because that just speaks volumes that God has taken this message further than I could travel, man. As of right now. But I definitely appreciate that. Again, to God be the glory for what he's doing in and through me, and what he's doing in and through this podcast. And those of you who are listening, again, my sincere gratitude goes out to you guys. But with that being said, man, today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And sometimes you're not going to always feel like rejoicing. Sometimes you're not going to always want to be glad in it, but you have to make a conscientious effort to rejoice and be glad, especially at times where you don't feel like it. So, again, just tuning in, we're going to pick up. Oh, let me not forget this. Let me not forget this. Again, like I said, I do all my podcast work by myself. So sometimes you guys don't see me asking for donations. So, I am going to drop it here, though. If you guys go to anchor.fm/unchained, those of you who have been asking how to contribute and help the podcast out, you can cash app. You can cash app Unchained. S created new. No. Sorry. I'm all over the place with that, man. So I do believe you can cash app the ministry at No Chains on Me. That's what it is. Yeah, so when you send Cash App, is no chains on me. If you do it through anchor.fm/unchained, you can choose your own donation method. And I think they have them set up in tiers of like $1, $5, or $10 per month as a recurring contribution. Or if you guys are small business owners, those of you who are interested, I will be sending out letters if you guys have ads or something that you are wanting to put up. If you have a small business, you need advertising, let me know. I have worked something out to where I can do your advertisement. So pre, mid, or post roll throughout the podcast, you'll have like a little infomercial. So whatever that is, email me at Keelan@unchainedmotivation.com. That's Keelan@unchainedmotivation.com. Send your message there and we can discuss how we can air your business on the podcast. And of course, like I said, we can figure out how you want to do that, how long you want to do that for, so on and so forth. And I can actually just send you the PDF of, what all I am offering, because we are really, digging our heels in and trying to, push this podcast a little bit further, a little bit harder, to reach more people for the kingdom of God. This has absolutely nothing to do with me being famous. I can't do enough to be famous. You know what I mean? That's not what this is all about, but it's about taking the name of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, to where the gospel is not preached. And my hopes is that this continues to go throughout the airwaves, and that it somehow, some way hits the ear and transforms the heart, man. That's what this is all about. So, moving forward, man, let's go ahead and get into this thing. I don't want to be long winded, but I do want to finish up on what we were talking about. Several weeks ago, we have been diving in the Genesis story. We've been talking about Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Esau. We covered how they lived in a dysfunctional household, how the parents had favorites, how each kid grew up after the parent that favorited them, how they picked up some of the traits, how they picked up the thought processes, their ideologies, how things were going on, and how it actually shaped and transformed their life. So, and I'm not talking about in a good way starting out. There's a lot of conflict, a lot of turmoil, a lot of heartache, a lot of deception, a lot of things that went into this family and really just broke it apart, and I'm really wanting to focus on what happened to Jacob and Esau after the division happened, after Jacob moved away and went to live with his uncle Laban, he was leaving his uncle Laban, and what that did to his relationship with his brother. And I want to talk about identity today. I do want to talk about identity. I want to talk about how we can sometimes get lost into what we've done, and we forget about who we are or what we've created to be. And I'm pretty sure that, Jacob and Esau, when they was growing up, they heard about the ancestry. They heard about what was promised to their family. They heard about the inheritance. They heard about all the things they were supposed to accumulate. They heard about all the descendants that were supposed to come through Abraham. They heard about all these things. And I would imagine that because the kids were favorited, I would imagine that this is the biggest reason why there was division. I would imagine why this was the biggest reason there was division, because one parent wanted one kid to have more, or to have the blessing. And so what they did was they actually they played favorites. And what the favorites did was it tore a hole in the family, and they were actually played against each other, and they were actually pinned against each other. And these are supposed to be family. They're supposed to be brothers. And because out of, greed and selfishness and pride and arrogance, deception comes into the picture, and this begins to be the thing that that tears people apart, man, is self. When you put self in the middle of the process, you put self in the middle of, in the middle of what God wants to do in your life. It always turns out that we will lose ourselves trying to find ourselves, or lose ourselves going after what we think we should have. And we see that that Jacob had become, you know, a product of his mother's deception, her craftiness to be sneaky. You know, she was very deceptive in even duping her own son into stealing something that was not supposed to be his. However, you know, God already knew how this would pan out. He had said beforehand that the older would serve the younger. And so the way that it happened, the way the older was serving the younger, it was done through deception. And we see where, again, Jacob runs away from home. But we also see where Jacob is tired of being used. He's tired of being taken advantage of by his uncle Laban. You know, Jacob's in a place where he had to work, you know, years to pay off some debt. And so he's actually a slave at this point. He's like, look, I need to break away from this. So in order to get out, he has to go back into this deception thing to get away from his uncle Laban. And so now he wants to go home. But he remembers that if he really wants to come home, there is a price on his head. His brother is looking to kill him. His brother is infuriated about what has been taken from him. So he doesn't necessarily have the peace of, oh, I can go back to my father's house. I can go back to my own land. I can go back home. He doesn't have that peace because he knows that if he goes home, that his brother's looking for him. And his brother hears about Jacob wanting to come back home. So he sends an army about 400 ahead of him. And so Jacob knows that the only way this is going to work out is if he has to make a sacrifice. He has to give some kind of peace offering. You know, in Matthew, it says, you know, before you come and you give me an offering or a sacrifice, make sure that you go and make things right with those you have deceived, those you have hurt, those that you have wrongs with. Go back and make that right before you bring me anything. And I think there's something to that, because Jacob then goes to try to bring something, or he presents an offering to his brother. He presents, you know, sheep and cows and camels and ewes and donkeys. And he gives all these things in advance because he knows he has to make things right before he goes back home. So what that looks like, and the reason why I bring that up is if we want God to do things in our life sometimes, and we know that we have wronged others, and we know that we have ran away from home, and we have, pretty much left the sovereignty of God. We've left his lordship. God does not leave us, but we leave him. And sometimes we do that by selfishness. We do that by deceiving. And, you know, we have to make those things right. And it's not saying that we have works to do before God accepts us, but our sacrifice or our willingness to be obedient or to give shows God the true intent of our heart. Because everybody that gives to a church does not mean that they're giving what is required. They can definitely give to appease. And Jacob was wanting to give to appease at this point, because it says, you know, in Genesis 32, verse 20, he says, and be sure to say, look, your servant Jacob is right behind us. Jacob thought, I would try to appease him by sending gifts ahead of me. When I see him in person, perhaps he will be friendly to me. So he's sending gifts, hoping that he could appease his brother. He's sending gifts ahead, hoping that he will forgive him, hoping that he will be accepted, hoping that his brother will forgive him. And sometimes people don't always accept what we have to give. They don't always accept what we have to give, especially when we wronged or hurt someone. And so we look at this and we hear this and we see what is going on. And Jacob not only has to send, not only is he giving gifts ahead of time, but his desperation to go back home means that he has to do some soul searching. He has to do some digging. He has to go and find within himself that which needs to be changed, because I'm pretty sure in this moment he's realizing that he's done something wrong. He's realizing all this hurt and pain and stuff that he's going through, the aggravation that he's had to go through, the isolation, being away from his brother, mother, and not necessarily getting to say bye to his father the way that he probably, you know, would have wanted to. I'm not even sure that he got to bury his father properly, because it doesn't say that. It just says that he had left. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure all this on the way back home is going through his mind. Like, I missed out on so much because of the things that I've done. I've missed out on all these opportunities because of the things that I've done. I've missed out on so many things that I wish I could have been a part of. But I do know that if I want to come back home, there's some sacrificing that has to be made. And so he gets to this point where he has to go and send his entire family ahead of him. He has to send all his possessions, all of his family. He has to send all these things ahead of him before. And I'm not really sure what the purpose was for it. But the way the Lord has spoke this to me is you have to be intentional and sincere about your transformation. Jacob made himself vulnerable by removing all of himself, removing all material things, all distractions. He got rid of all these things, things that could prohibit him from praying to God the way he really wanted to pray with God. He got rid of all these things that could distract him and be in the way. Because it says, this prayer that he had, he had this long prayer, in his spirit. And I think, being by yourself, when you want God to do some things in your life, he can't do these things when you have distraction. He can't reveal to you the things that he needs to change and shift in your mind, your heart, and your spirit when there are other people around. There are some things that God will not discuss with you until he gets alone with you. There are some things he will not reveal that is an issue until he removes that thing out of your sight. There are some things that God is very deliberate and intentional and very vocal about, very visual about, and he cannot reveal those things to you lest he gets alone with you. And it says, during the night, Jacob got up and he took his two wives, his two servants, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the Jabbok River with them. And after taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions, everything that he owned. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until dawn began to break. And this wrestling part is what got me, because he's wrestling with Jacob for a long time. And it says, when the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." And there is this thing that really speaks to my heart, because I want us to make sure that we're not wrestling with the wrong thing. We're not wrestling with the wrong thing. And I need us to be cautious, and I need us to be mindful of what it is that we choose to wrestle with. So if you're going to figure out what God is trying to do in your life, what he's trying to do within your spirit, we need to get alone with God and figure out what it is that we're really and truly wrestling with. Because there's some things God, again, like I said, will not reveal until we are alone with him. Things he will not address when we're distracted. So we got to make sure that we're not wrestling with the wrong thing. And in this particular passage, I'm seeing that Jacob is wrestling for his identity, wrestling to become his true self, wrestling to actually bring glory to his name, And the only thing that we have in this world that will last after we're gone is the impact that we make. And the impact that we make is attached to our name. And so he says he will not let go of the man until he blesses him. And then he finds out that he is wrestling with God. He is wrestling with God because all that he's accumulated, all that he has was all earned by deception. Everything that he has been given to him by lies and deceitfulness and taking advantage of people. And so he's like, and for me, I'm reading this and I'm thinking about all the times in my life where I've wrestled. But I don't think I've ever wrestled with God to the point where I've been trying to figure out what my identity was. I think I've been more focused on wrestling with sin and addiction and shame. I'm wrestling with the wrong thing. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come forth. So if I'm to be a new creation in Christ, what am I really wrestling with and what am I wrestling for? So am I wrestling with being a new creation, or am I wrestling with the thoughts that I am not really the creation that God says that I am? Because it's not so much as the identity that we should be wrestling for, but we do find out, because that is given. That is the thing that God did on the cross for us, is he gave us a new identity. He gave us a new life. He gave us a fresh start. He gave us everlasting life. He gave us power by the Holy Ghost. We have been washed in his blood. We have been made clean. We are the righteousness of God through Christ. All these things we have already attained through Jesus himself. So are we really trying to wrestle for this identity? Or are we really wrestling with the thoughts that we feel undeserving? Because this is what I find that we are truly wrestling with. Because if we understand and we believe the Bible, the identity in which we seek, we already have. The identity that Christ has given us through his sacrifice and through his resurrection, we have already been made new with Christ. So our problem is not that we don't have a new identity. Our problem, or the thing that we wrestle with, is accepting the new identity. Because I'll be honest with you. Sometimes people have looked at the things that I've done. They have looked at my lack of execution on my Christian walk. And they're close to me and they know the things that I've done. But they will challenge what I've done or who I've become by saying things that demean who Christ says I was. So again, you guys have heard me say it before, and I'll say it time and time again, that people will judge you based upon a certain season in your life. They won't forgive you. They'll make you try to live in your mistakes, and that is what Christ has not called us to do. He has called us to live and walk in our new identity. The Bible says, I am the righteousness of God. The Bible says, I am a royal priesthood. I am a chosen generation. The Bible also tells me that God has good plans for me, plans to prosper me, not plans of evil, not plans of destruction, not plans to be less than who I am. But God says the Bible, look, God doesn't say the Bible, sorry, but God says that I am a new creation. So the war or the wrestling is not for the identity. It is our thoughts about our identity that we're really wrestling with. And Jacob, he understands who he is. Jacob understands what he's supposed to have. Jacob understands what he's supposed to do in this life. But he also understands that he cannot be who God calls him to be unless God blesses him first. Understand, guys, that when we go to God, we should be, the only time we should be warring with God is when we're asking on our knees for God to change our actions and our behaviors, to help us to understand, to help us to gain the knowledge of understanding who we're supposed to be, so that we can walk in the life that Christ says we should walk in. That is the only way we should be warring with God. But our flesh, it wars against the spirit. And this is the thing that we find that is most common, that the who we're supposed to be and what we want are often at war with each other. And there's a constant war going on within ourselves. And I can imagine that at some point, Jacob, he's gotten the revelation of who he's actually wrestling with. God had made that evident of who and what he's wrestling with. And when God realized that Jacob was not going to let him go until God did something in his life that only he could get credit for, the Bible said that God touched his hip and wrenched it out of socket. From personal experience, I can tell you that when you really and truly pray to God for transformation, for God to do something in your life, for God to bless you. And when I say bless, I don't mean God necessarily fills your pockets with money. Yeah, that could be part of it. That is part of it. But that's only the small piece of it. But when you ask God for bless you to change you and to transform you, the other part of that He's going to do something in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit. Now, when you are at war within yourself and you are wrestling with God, God will touch you in such a way that you're going to have a scar or you're going to have a wound. Jacob limped away from this fight. The wrenching of the socket was evident that he had been wrestling with God. It was the signature that God placed upon his body that he had been wrestling with divinity. Now, when I asked God to change and transform me, it was evident that my life had been touched by God. Because when God touched my life, let me tell you something, the transformation was evident. It was public. I went through ridicule. I went through embarrassment. I was homeless. I was, I was eating, leftover food off of people's plates in restaurants. I would stay in the cheap hotels, and I would take breakfast with me to have extra food to eat. I would have an apple or an orange, or I would have a leftover granola bar. There was a specific way that I was living that was evident that, in order for you to change and transform, it's going to be war and you're going to be wrestling. Because as much as my flesh wanted to do what it wanted to do, I was wrestling with God trying to put my sinful self to rest. I was dying to myself. There was an evident war that was going on within my mind and in my heart and in my spirit. And the wrestling with God was not me resisting God. It was my flesh going against God, but my mind and my heart wanted to change and transform. Because although I was a Christian, although I am a Christian, that does not mean that there's not a war going on in my mind. The Bible is very specific about the flesh warring with the spirit. And when I ask God to change and transform me, I promise you, look, the devil does not bother you unless you're bothering him. And the only way that you are bothering him is when you start changing your life to live for Christ. That bothers the enemy more than anything. And I was bothering the enemy. I was trying to live my life right. I was trying to put down the marijuana. I was trying to put down the alcohol. I was trying to put down the pornography. I was trying to be a faithful man. I was trying to stop lying. I was trying to stop doing the things that was putting division between me and my Savior. And the harder I worked to do that, the more the enemy fought with me. So it was this back and forth. There was this tug of war in my mind, this tug of war in my spirit. And it is always evident. So all these people who parade around like they don't ever deal with anything, I promise you, they're lying. For them to say, yo, I live in trees and eat leaves, they're lying. For them to say, no, I don't struggle with this or that, they're lying. I promise you, there's not a human being on this planet that does not have the struggle with the mindset or the thought of change and transformation. If they are trying to go closer to God, if they're trying to lean into God, if they're trying to give God their very best, they will always have to deal with the constant conflict or the war that goes on in the spirit. Always. There's always a war going on between what you want and what God requires of you. The thoughts you think and how the Bible says you should think. What you want to do versus the way God calls you or challenges you to live. And it is a challenge. Because it is nothing for me to sin and be happy in my sin. People who love to sin, let me tell you something. If you don't want to follow Christ, they are fine with that. I heard actually this morning. This is so ironic. I heard this morning on a T.D. Jakes Bible study. He was talking about how he drew the comparison of a pig and a sheep both falling in the mud. Now the pig will wallow around in the mud because it's within his nature. But the sheep actually cries because it is not within their nature to be muddy. So a person who is trying to live with Christ, they cannot wallow around in sin and mentally and emotionally and spiritually be okay with it. They may do it, but they're eating up inside. They may do it, but their mind won't let them sleep. They may do it, but there's always inner turmoil. Where the pig or the person who loves to sin, like, it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them to get on Facebook and say all kind of obscenities and put up like it doesn't bother them that way. And Paul goes even further to explain this, and there's nothing that sums it up more than this. There's nothing that sums it up more than this. And this is in Romans, and this is in chapter 7. This is in chapter 7. And look, many of you have probably heard this before. Because, again, there's always a struggle with sin. And although we didn't open up this context with struggling with sin, according to Jacob and God, but Jacob is wrestling for who he is. But most of us spend time struggling with what we do. It is one thing to fight for who you are. It's another thing to fight for what you do. Okay. And if you understand who you are, then you don't have to fight with what you do. Right. Because who you are. Okay. Well, let me put it this way. What you do does not categorize you as to who you are. Not always. Because again, everybody has a weak moment. If I'm a Christian and I curse, it does not make me a sinner because I cursed. I want y'all to understand that, because a lot of times, and look, let me be real. Before I read Romans chapter 7, verse 14, I'm going to start on 14. Let me tell y'all this, because those of you who know me and are very close to me, I've been through a rough season the past year and a half. I promise you, you're talking about inner conflict, inner turmoil, not being myself, having to speak and teach on top of it. Now, if anybody knew me from the outside looking in, everybody would say, yo, Keelan, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. The way that you live is not right. Look, let me tell y'all something. I promise you, there are more people behind the pulpit of a church every morning that steal from the church that you would never know about. I promise you. And I'm not saying that to give myself a pass, but what I'm saying is there are some people, again, who would judge you about a bad season in your life and will never let you live it down. And I have made some decisions in my life, especially on my walk with Christ, with my influence, the things that I was doing. And yo, look, shameless plug right here. There's going to be a book that is going to be released this summer. There's going to be a book that comes out this summer, and it's going to tell y'all all about it. But I had a person who went to my old church, right? And this person did not like a decision that I made, not understanding that the choices that I make and things that I do. Let me tell y'all something. I don't make those for anybody. I don't make them based upon popular demand. I do not make choices based upon how somebody says I should live. I make my decisions based upon my sanity and my spiritual destination and the best possible choice for my daughter. That's why I make my decisions and my choices. And there are some people who were not okay with the choices that I made. They did not like the choices that I made. So this particular individual decided to message me and pretty much tell me that I was going to hell by the choices that I made. Now, let me tell y'all this. And if you want to understand it, read John chapter 3. And I want you to start at verse 14 or start with the conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus. Read that conversation and read what Jesus is telling people, because I want you guys to understand something. I want you guys to get it clear. OK, I want you to get it crystal. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot tell me that my acts cannot send me to heaven, but then turn around and tell me that my acts send me to hell. It does not work that way. I'm going to say that again. You cannot tell me that my acts cannot get me to heaven, but then turn around and tell me that my acts send me to hell. The thing that sends a person to hell is blaspheming the Holy Spirit or saying that Jesus Christ does not exist. That is what condemns a person to hell. It is their unbelief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he did die on a cross and he did not raise again on the third day. A person's disbelief, and that is what condemns them to hell. So I'm just making that clear, because this person was very adamant on telling me what God did not have in store for me because of a choice that I made, when this person is on the outside looking in, not understanding the things that I've gone through over the past several years of my life. So I'm not angry at that person. I'm just saying, yo, he who is without sin cast the first stone. That's all I'm saying. We all have moments of weakness. We all go through things in life. And I'm making clear the point that we do not wrestle with who we are. We already have an identity. If you believe in Christ, if you gave your life to Jesus, if you've been baptized and heaven is your goal, then you already have an identity. So you're not wrestling with who you are. You're not wrestling with who you are. More than likely, you're wrestling with what you do. You're wrestling with what you think. And you are letting the enemy get into your mind and tell you that you are not worthy or deserving of the life that he has for you. So again, Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 14, Paul says, "So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." This is the word that we're talking about, guys. This is what I think, going against who I'm created to be. Okay, verse 18. "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. I'm not really the one doing wrong," it says. "It is sin living in me that does it." Again, guys, we are dealing with mindset versus who we are. It's not that we don't have the identity of Christ. It is not the fact that we haven't given our life to Christ. We are dealing with the war that goes on in our mind that creates the division between you and our Creator. Verse 21, "I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong." Meaning, somebody was arguing with me, and instead of me being calm, as the Word of God says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So when somebody tried to fight and argue with me, I did not do what I was supposed to do and be calm. Instead, I cussed the person out. I do what is wrong. Inevitably. It's the sin in me that does it. Verse 22, "I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind." Again, the sin is at war with your mind. What does your mind have to do with anything? Your mind is the thinking center that connects you to your Creator. "This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me." You are a slave to what you think, in other words. "Oh, what miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Freedom from the life that is dominated by sin and death. How does sin and death dominate you? It dominates you by what you think. So what is the deliverance? Verse 25, "Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior." The answer is in wrestling with God. The answer is wrestling with God. The Holy Spirit wants to free you and deliver you. But as long as you think that you're not worthy, you cannot be delivered unless you think different. God does not zap your mind. You have to make the choice that you are going to give your life to Christ. And this is the wrestling part. The Holy Spirit is trying to free you, and you're holding on to the thing that it wants to take from you. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, so you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. In my mind, I really want to obey. In my mind, I really want to give God all that I have. In my mind, I can see myself living a fruitful and prosperous life. In my mind, I can see myself healing nations and touching people or healing nations through me. Through the divine power of the Holy Ghost, I can see myself laying hands upon the sick. I can see myself feeding the hungry. I can see myself being an inspiration and a motivator to many. I can see myself. I can see myself doing these things. I can see myself doing it in my mind. But my flesh, my sinful nature, is at war with what God has called me to do. Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So in your prayer time, why don't you challenge yourself not to get off your knees, not to lift up your head until you feel God's presence bearing down on you and breaking those chains off your spirit and taking the hardness off your heart and taking those negative thoughts out of your mind and taking the I can't and the I don't and the I'm not worthy and the I'm not good enough until you feel God breaking that off your spirit, until you feel God freeing that from your mind. How about you not come up? How about you say, God, I will not let you go until you make your will and your purpose known for me in my life, my individual purpose, the plans that you say you have for me. How about you not let go of God? Say, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you give to me the land that you swore to my ancestors. God, I will not let you go until you make my descendants as numerous as the sands of the earth. I will not let you go until you do that thing. I will not let you go until you tell me that my name is no longer Jacob. Until you call me Israel, I will not let you go. Until you name me God Fights. That's what Israel means, God Fights. Till you name me God Fights. Until you name me God Fights. Until you make me the victor and not a victim. Until I see that I'm a victor and not a victim. Until I see my calling and my purpose. And I understand that I'm not a victim. Until I get out of the whole woe is me thing, until I get out of my own mind, until I get out of my own flesh and get into your spirit. God, help us to wrestle with the right thing. To wrestle with you in prayer. Not that you would punish us, but for you to free us. Help us to wrestle with you in prayer, Father God. To remove the strongholds, to remove the hurt, to remove the pain, to remove the things in our life that should not be attached to us, to remove those things out of our sinful nature until you break those strongholds over our life, Father God. Until you remove those things that damage us, that hold us captive. Until you help us, Father, to wage war against those things. Free us, Father God, from the mindset of inadequacy. To free us from the mindset of we have to be qualified to serve you, that we have to be qualified to go and spread. Free us from that mindset. Bring to us, Father God, to the understanding and the belief that you will withhold no good thing from us, Father God, that you want the best for our life, that you want us to be numerous as the sands of the earth, that you want us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that you want us to prosper. Help us to adapt this divinity that you have placed within us for us to walk in your spirit and your power and your truth, Father God. Help us to see what you've called us to be. Help us to see what you've called us to do. Help us to walk out this powerful life that you've given us, Father God. Help us to do those things in which you've called us to do. Let us not wrestle with the wrong thing. Let us not wrestle with the mindset of inadequacy, Father God. Help us to adapt your sovereignty in our life and to walk in the full power and manifestation of the Spirit of God walking through our life, Father God. May those who are listening today understand their true potential, that they are divine, that they are royal, that they are sons and daughters of God, that they are divine, Father God. That they have the power to call down heaven to earth and walk in abundance. That they're supposed to multiply, Father God. That they're supposed to be fruitful, to subdue and have dominion in this life, Father God. That our children are supposed to prosper. That everything that we touch can be made prosperous because we walk hand in hand with the Father and the Creator of the entire universe. Because there's nothing that we should not have. Nothing that we cannot do. Because we are united. We are united with the Holy One. We are united with the very Creator of the entire universe. The very Creator of my being, we are in unison with you, Father God. Help us to adapt that mindset and walk in totality of the fruit of the living Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you and we love you, Father God, for this word. Help us to live and to walk in abundance and in our true identity, and not wrestle with the thoughts, and not wrestle with our fleshly desires. Help us to fight, Father God, for our will and our purpose, and help us to release those things that which you have not called us to be intertwined with. Help us, Father God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, to nail our flesh to the cross so that you can sit on the throne of our hearts, Father God. Help us to remove ourself out of what we have, out of everything, Father God, that we have desired. Father, like, let us be filled with your desire, Father God. Because when we can walk with in your will and your purpose, Father God, you can do exactly what you did in Jacob's life. And you can make us abundant. And you can multiply us. And you can make us fruitful, Father God. You can bring forgiveness to our life. You can bring those things. You can bring healing into our life. Relationally, spiritually, emotionally. Like, you can bring these things to fruition in our life, and you can help us to have closure. You can help heal some things and transform some things, Father God. We thank you so much for that ability. We thank you so much for your power. Let your hand rest upon us. Let the Spirit fall upon us and the listeners, Father God. Let your hand be upon us, Father. We thank you. We love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Hey, we'll see y'all next week.